Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, when I was 18 years old here as a senior at Parkway West, I went to Valencia and Madrid and a couple other places in Spain. I lived with a family just for a week, but I was able to reunite with them 3 years ago when I went to Barcelona. Came up from Valencia, and I've been communicating with them today via the WhatsApp because of the World Cup game, and Spain did it. They were not the favorite. They scored their first goal in a PK. And they just won the game 2-0, so they're on to the final, facing the winner of Argentina and who am I missing here? England. Argentina and England. Right. That's a huge game tomorrow, right? So that's going to be set for the final. Yes, Fred?
Oh, and my son Noah is in Lisbon today.
Oh, really?
So I'm waiting to hear back from him if he's seeing or hearing anything.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And, you know, that's next fun. World Cup is going to be in Portugal and Spain, I think, is, you know, all across that continent there. So that was, look, I kind of had to watch the game out of the corner of my eye. Never did see the second goal, but it seemed pretty exciting. And I don't think the Spaniards did not necessarily expect to win. Clay Travis, and I like Clay a lot, he tweeted very confidently a few hours ago, said, "France 2, Spain nothing there. That's going to be the final. That's the prediction. Thank you." I'm like, I think it was a typo, Clay. I think you kind of reversed that one just a little bit. We have Sue's News coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll have Catherine Hanaway, the Attorney General of Missouri, at the bottom of the hour. We'll kind of return back to some of the Jordan Walker Fund with Scotty Warman. Jason Law is running for St. Charles County Executive. We're going to start working some of the candidates in. I mean, this is a three-way race between Jason, Bill Eigel, former state senator, and the current county executive, Steve Ellman. I think we're going to have Bill on the show, Fred, on Friday. Is that
set? On Friday, and Steve Ellman on Tuesday.
Okay, and then we're talking about 3 weeks from today is this election. Am I getting that right? Which is kind of amazing. I can't believe that the calendar is flipping this quickly. Yeah, you got the 21st, the 28th, and the 4th. So 3 weeks from today is election day. We're going to talk about baseball in you know, a little bit more with Jordan Walker. I think that Sue's going to include some of the fun stuff
yes.
in Sue's news. But I read this story yesterday, and, you know, I always kind of like to say this because I rip on the New York Times and the Washington Post and certainly our local paper. There's still good journalism that is occurring in a lot of those outlets. And I'm actually noticing, certainly at the Washington Post with Bezos, there's a little bit different editorial twist than there had been. But this is totally off politics, and that's kind of where maybe these publications still kind of excel in some of the reporting. And I was just kind of taken by this story that I'm going to share. It's very lengthy, so I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but it's really kind of cool. And I don't remember this, and I think that we're kind of in the age that doesn't remember what I'm going to talk about. But let me ask you this question. Fred, you're a big baseball guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of, because this to me, I knew nothing about it. It's called backyard baseball.
Yeah.
It was a game in the 90s
really?
For kids, right? Huh. So what do you know about it? Do you know anything about it?
I just remember seeing the graphics for it with like little kids, you know, with big heads.
Right.
You know, the graphics of kids.
And apparently it was a big deal. So the way that this
big
story
heads.
Starts in the New York Times
cartoonish.
Is...
Cartoonish.
Cartoonish, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll get into maybe this a little bit when I describe what happened here, because this is just an amazing story. This woman's name is Lindsay Barnett, and the reporter from the New York Times, Alessandra Shade, says that she was giving her a tour of Highland Park. That's a suburb just outside of Chicago. And she's pointing to, this is our football field. That rock was the end zone. And they kind of go into this story about what Lindsay Barnett is all about and what she was doing. The neighborhood is in the North Shore suburbs of Chicago. They kind of describe it. Many of us know this. I mean, I watched 16 Candles being filmed when I was a kid.
Okay, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. I love that movie.
I was up there. I lived here at the time when they were filming it, but I was up there visiting friends, and they were doing a scene that was right across one of the hot dog stands that we always went to. But the reporter paints the picture here about how these suburbs were the, you know, the backdrop for 16 Candles and Ferris Bueller's Day Off and all these other things. So this woman's 33 years old. She grew up there in the 1990s. She says at the height of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, and her quote in the piece is, "Michael Jordan lived 5 miles away. I went to summer camp with his kids. It was the coolest time ever." So she's a teacher, and what she's talking about now is bringing back her kids' favorite video game, and that's backyard baseball. So it was a point-and-click computer game from the late 1990s featuring, the way it's described here, a sandlot's worth of cartoon kids. And they say it taught a generation the rules of baseball, won their hearts with its cast of lovable misfits, and then it vanished. It was gone. Because the studio behind it folded, the intellectual property rights were scattered, the source code was lost, but this teacher, who's now 33 years old, decided to bring it back. And she decided that she would not be deterred. And they kind of go into a little bit of a history here that it hit the shelves in 1997. That was the year my first son was born. I really don't have any memory of this, or I don't recognize it at all. It was from a company in Seattle. And the premise was very simple. Round up some neighborhood kids for a pickup baseball game, right? It was an illustrator at a studio in Seattle, Nick Merkovich, who came up with this. And this was back when the Seattle Mariners in 1995 made this improbable playoff run. The whole city kind of caught baseball fever. So this guy gets his idea made into a game. And it's built around a diverse cast of kids. And they kind of go into the whole background of backyard baseball. 30 kids were girls, half were of color. The girls were as skilled as the boys. The star pitcher threw from a wheelchair. So I guess there was a lot of, you know, diversity that was... interjected into the game. The standout player, Pablo Sanchez, was a short Spanish-speaking kid with a bit of a belly. I guess that was someone inspired by a character in the Bad News Bears. So there's a lot of little baseball nuggets in this. But what's crazy is that it went away, and it just kind of went dark. And people in the article say like it was kind of hard to see it disappear because it was an important part of their lives or in this childhood. So Barnett was teaching second grade in a Chicago public school a while back here. She had majored in radio and television and film at Northwestern University, but then she went into elementary school education. The pandemic comes along. She is, you know, doing her teaching at home, and she notices that a lot of the kids are playing video games, and a lot of the ones they're playing are like violent video games, right? So, unfortunately, I had that experience with my boys when they were in the basement playing video games. So, she asked the students, when she was a teacher, she said, said, why not play sports games instead, baseball, football, or something? The kids said those were too hard. You had to know the rules. And she says, well, what about backyard baseball? They'd never heard of it, right? So she goes to look for the game, and she describes it as a light bulb moment. She goes, I go full Nancy Drew at this point. I reach out to intellectual property lawyers and lawyers from the original game, but nobody could find anything. They're like,
that's
this is
so
weird. Yeah, there's literally no trail. So one guy says, hire a private detective. And she said, that kind of maybe sounded like a good idea. Months later, the investigator sent an email. The good news was he found the owners. The less good news was they didn't want to talk at all. So what she didn't know and what no one knew was that the people holding the rights were no ordinary owners. They weren't part of a private equity firm. They were just a couple of guys who spent years chasing down backyard baseball. And these guys beat her to it by more than a decade. But they were kind of sitting on it, right? So they kind of talk about these two guys, Stuart and Ari. They were college roommates. They turned into film producing partners, and they kind of latched on to backyard baseball. So in the end, they find a deal, and they kind of get on the property, and they keep it secret, and they don't do anything. And they know at the same time Barnett is closing in. So the timing here is somewhat coincidental. She quits teaching in 2022. She gets funding on this from private investors. She builds a team. She says, I had blind confidence. I guess that's what happens when you're 28 and you have a vision. That's one of the reasons I love this story so much, because she takes on this project and she just digs into it. One of her hires is a guy named Chris Waters, and he's a producer who had built franchises like Robot Chicken and Kung Fu Panda and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he sees, you know, some potential here. So they go through this whole process, and it gets, I'm just telling you, this article goes really, really into detail. So in January of 2024, they're very close to an agreement, and guess who gets involved? The Kelce brothers. Because on their podcast, Jason tells Travis that he had secretly been looking into who owned the rights to backyard football and baseball, adding that he wanted to buy the games and bring them back. So that clip goes viral. The teacher, Barnett, watches with dread because she's like, oh my God, don't go with them, right? She's like, this is my deal. The Kelces never followed up. The news cycle moves on. In March of 24, she signs a contract to make the backyard franchise hers. The two guys who, you know, had already had it and were sitting on it, they are on the board for any future film or television projects, so they'll still, you know, make money if this thing really takes off. But it was there kind of in the background for all these years, and now they're bringing it back. So it's kind of an amazing story. And look, so you can see, you know, I've criticized the newspapers for not doing this. This is a great example of a New York Times piece where they use the graphics and the video and the pictures to kind of show you what that particular, you know, backyard baseball looked like. So
Fred,
it really is an incredible story.
It's really cute. It looks sweet.
Yeah.
And
it's
innocent.
Just this woman who is, oh yeah, look, you have it on your phone. And it's all because of this teacher who is 33 years old now and started this a few years ago. And she brings it back, and who knows what's going to happen now. I mean, I think she put a lot of money, a lot of effort into this. You have to think about in terms of, you know, I mentioned this the other day, Toy Story finally passes the $1 billion mark. But you know what else did that? Was the Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, that's right.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
So I don't know what these possibilities are, because you start getting onto it and maybe there's other options to move it in a different direction. And then you can really, really make some money. And there are fans out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, here, I'll show you what it looked like in the particular story, because showing all the graphics of it and how it looks. So I guess they brought it back officially in October of 24. They have brought back five more backyard games since then. They've been downloaded more than a million times. Her company is called Playground Productions. It is a super real business. They announced Backyard Sports, the animated special. Those guys that, you know, were sitting on it, the producers, they're involved with that. You got Tiffany Haddish and Christopher Binz-Plasse, who are doing the voices. So it's going to be on Amazon Prime. I think it is actually right now. So she's churning out some money from this deal, and a passion play turns into a big media mogul, maybe. You just never know where that's going to take.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Take. All right, Tuesday afternoon, we have the Attorney General, Catherine Hanaway, coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we got to do this. Of course, I have to have the audio on for you to do that and press the right button. Let's try it again.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You guys, it's National Cow Appreciation Day, and I like a cow. I follow somebody somewhere on the socials who has a heifer that comes to sleep on her front porch. She raised it, bottle raised it, and her name is Daisy, and she sleeps on their front porch with the dog and a couple of pigs.
Aww.
It's the cutest thing you'll ever see.
My life would be so different without cows because of A, milk.
Milk.
Yeah, oh, good
B,
point,
beef.
Fred.
We're on the same page there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's also, and why wouldn't you have it, National Tape Measure Day. Because, well, it's handy. I don't know what else to say. I like a good tape measure. Does it need a day? I don't think so.
You know, maybe it does in the sense that a lot of people, like when I measure, I use my iPad now, those digital tape measures. You know, the old-fashioned tape measure, maybe it deserves a day.
Oh, how do you use...
Well, there's an app. Have you never done that?
No.
Oh, my God. It's easy.
I have an old Sonic thing that I just go...
Put the little pointer on there. Put the little pointer on the other spot. It tells you everything you need to know.
Look at that. It's also National Nude Day. Do with that what you will.
Okay.
Nudist colonies, of course, very into it, and they say, we're not pervs. We like to be naked. That's what, that was part of the description. I said, okay. On this day in history, I love Billy Joel's version of his song, Billy the Kid. So we're going to play a little bit of that.
The Ballad of Billy the Kid.
Oh, I love it so much. Well, he started with a bang. Colorado,
in the pocket of his vest, a Colt he hid. Okay. I hope there's not bad news about Billy Joel today because he's been ill,
nope.
You know. Okay.
145 years ago today in 1881, William H. Bonney Jr., Billy the Kid, was shot and killed.
Oh.
By Sheriff Pat Garrett in Fort Sumner, New Mexico.
So that's the tie-in.
That is the tie-in.
All right, I like
and,
that.
And they say it just really put people off. He was so young when he started doing that, like a teenager. And the people were like, whoa. And it threw him off
the
bank tellers.
Is that where the kid came from?
Yeah. So it is. Oh, I love this song.
By the way, way, one of my favorite Billy Joel records is called Songs in the Attic, and mm-hmm. it's a live record from the early 80s. And unfortunately, and this is true for a lot of artists from the 70s, like the early production on like this song, not the greatest. The live version of this on that record is better.
Outstanding. Yeah, it was from really?
Oh my God, yeah. Jeez. I mean, you Say Goodbye to Hollywood, Summer Highland Falls, Miami 2017. Listen to that record, Songs in the Attic, because it's one of the best Billy Joel records out there, because he takes all these mid-70s songs and elevates them with an amazing amount of energy.
So gifted.
There you go, yeah.
Also, 58 years ago today, in 1968, was when Hank Aaron hit his 500th home run. And of course, that leads us into this. We've talked about Jordan Walker already today, but he did make MLB history last night by becoming the first St. Louis Cardinal to win the home run derby. Philadelphia's hometown hero, Kyle Schwarber, looked on, and they kept cutting to his face.
He's horrified.
He did, and it's like, what can he say? There's nothing he could do that's right at this time.
I mean,
you know,
I thought maybe he would kind of laugh a little bit, just like, what am I going to do? But he was like, he was pissed, right?
He was something.
I think he thought he had it, because, I mean, he was putting them out of there without any trouble.
Yeah. I know. Here's a little bit of sound.
Shots on the board with a home run right here. Is that enough? Jordan Walker!
Yes!
Woo! Come on, baby!
I mean, we shared Ethan's audio. I was jumping around in my basement just yelling yesterday. That was so much fun last night, and I think we'll get a lot of coverage. I think they're going to talk about it on the actual game tonight as well, which is on Fox, but that was a thrill.
The text I got from Mark right afterwards was in capital letters, OMG.
Yeah. There should have been an F in there, too, but I knew it was you. Yeah. Everyone else got the F. You did not get the F.
That's nice.
Playing to the audience. So I learned this a little bit.
Personalized. The longest homer hit in Derby history was a 524-foot blast by Sammy Sosa in 2002. All right, in random Hollywood news, the Britney Spears memoir, The Woman in Me, is going to be turned into a biopic. Gina Davis is going to play real-life serial killer Dorothea Puente in a true crime drama. That one being developed by HBO.
Okay, I swear to God, I thought you were going to tell me that Gina Davis was playing Britney Spears.
No,
and I was like very confused.
You're right. I should have made that more obvious. The Rock wants to do Odd Couple on Broadway with Kevin Hart.
Oh, my God. That could be pretty funny.
It could be great.
Yes.
Mindy Kaling would be in there. Mr. Beast and J.J. Watt are among the guest sharks. And they're not going to be in the Odd Couple.
Okay.
Mindy Kaling, Mr. Beast, and J.J. Watt are among the guest sharks for season 18 of The Shark Tank.
Okay.
So I've watched that when it's on just because it's kind of interesting.
Is it the business thing?
Where they pitch random stuff. It really is kind of a good show.
I've watched it before.
And we've got some sound for this, but not for a minute here. Mick Jagger was on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. That's Conan's podcast, which can be hilarious. But Mick said he had not had a chance to meet Elvis Presley. This is what he said. I had a chance to meet Elvis, but I didn't. Because
he says it in the bite.
Told him not to.
Yeah, don't give up too much here. I'll give you the background here. The Beatles, and this is documented in that documentary that's on Disney. But anyway, the Beatles met Elvis, right?
Yes.
And it was weird. Okay.
Yes.
The way that they describe it is it was awkward.
Yes.
And like Elvis didn't say anything at first.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't the best experience that they had. So piggybacking off of that,
the Beatles went up to Elvis's house in Los Angeles to visit with Elvis. And I remember John telling me, I should never meet your heroes. I would never meet Elvis, Mick, if I were you. And so I didn't. I took John's advice. It was really stupid of me, really. But I mean, I would love to have met Elvis. Why I take John's advice? So put me off. So I wanted to keep my Elvis to myself, my version of Elvis. So I didn't want my version of Elvis shattered like John's was. But maybe my Elvis version would have been different.
By the way, that was an amazing...
Wasn't it?
He did John Lennon like perfectly. Mick did his impersonation of John Lennon, just nailed it. But that's interesting, isn't it?
That's a great story.
It is interesting. Because, you know, people tell you stuff and you think, oh, yeah, well, you take that to heart. And then Elvis dies not that long. That's a missed opportunity.
Well, and you know, the thing with the Beatles, I maybe that was just an off day because Elvis maybe was intimidated by the Beatles. And
probably.
And vice versa, because look, I told you, I went to the memorial for his death the 11th year after Elvis died in Memphis. They do memorials every year. And I sat at the memorial service at Memphis State University and heard these stories of all this generosity and love and the things that Elvis did for people. So it could have been, you know, two big ginormous, or actually five ginormous stars meeting,
it
just didn't work out that time. But you know, Mick probably does regret not meeting Elvis.
Right, and there's four of them. There's one of you, and I don't know. The whole thing it's just odd. Pitbull and his fans, this is an important story, set a Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people in bald caps during a show at the BST Hyde Park on Friday in London. The official total, 22,141 people, including Pitbull, who also wore a bald cap, even though he is bald. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Fred, I was going to ask you if you had tried some of these. There have been more than 400 different flavors of Kit Kats produced in Japan. Pear, soybean, blueberry cheesecake, green tea,
nope.
Wasabi.
Nope.
None of them?
Nope.
Did you try any of them while you were there?
No, not at all. But they sell a lot.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Well, we still got a long way to go here. About halfway through the show, we'll have Scotty Warman coming up before the end of this hour to kind of reflect on the amazing Home Run Derby and preview the All-Star Game tonight. Jason Law, who is running for St. Charles County Executive, will join us at 5:04 this afternoon. Then we got Tech Talk Tuesdays with George Rosenthal, and that's always fun. Or it's always a segment that scares the living daylights out of you. So it's one or the other, or sometimes both. The Attorney General of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway, is back with us this afternoon. Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We are just 3 weeks away from this primary, which is kind of hard to believe. Now, you are campaigning. You're making the case for Amendment 5. I'm a fan of Amendment 5. I'm certainly a yes vote. I support what the governor's trying to do here. But why is the Attorney General of Missouri kind of taking point on Amendment 5?
Well, because to me, the most important job as a public servant is to do what's in the best interest of Missouri. And I think if we don't modernize our tax code, we're going to continue to fall further and further behind the states who have. And, you know, Tennessee is a great comparison. It doesn't have beaches. It doesn't have oceans. It doesn't have mountains. But what it did do was repeal its income tax a number of years ago. And it's just outgrown Missouri exponentially in that time period. As a public servant, I think it's my obligation to be for what's good for Missourians.
What can you tell me about the ballot language itself? Because there was a little back and forth on that. What will people, and I guess people are still, they're already voting, right? Since early voting is beginning. So what is the language, and was there a disagreement about what the language should be?
Absolutely, there was a disagreement, and it's an important disagreement because the language that was proposed by the legislature would have included information about the impact on property taxes. And if this measure goes into place and tax revenue increases from sales taxes, there's an obligation by local officials to reduce property taxes or other local taxes. And the Western District Court of Appeals took that completely out of the measure. So people have some fear that it's going to have an inflationary impact on property taxes when, in fact, there's a good likelihood that it will actually decrease property taxes. And it's really an important point, and it's too bad the voters aren't going to have that information on the ballot.
Well, this whole thing, and I've been talking about it for several weeks now, because I can't believe, and certainly everyone has a right to decide how they're going to vote on this issue. It's interesting. It's not breaking down along, you know, political lines necessarily. There's a lot of Republicans, a lot of maybe even conservative Republicans who don't like this. They refer to it as a power grab. Now, what I would say is there's a lot of misinformation out there and scare tactics from the people who don't like this. And I guess I would say, and I've tried to make this case, this is always dangerous, Catherine, to get into conversations on Facebook with people you know and friends, but I just think that if people would do the math here and look at the amount, look at your paycheck, look how much money is being withdrawn from the state, think about a slight increase in a sales tax on some goods and services, and will you come out ahead or behind? I think mathematically it's impossible for some people to come out behind. Now, one of the criticisms from opponents, and you can address this, is that it's going to hit seniors and people, you know, at the poverty level or under, poorer people, harder than it will everybody else. What would you say to that?
Well, I've heard you make the case about the fact that it's very unlikely that you'll spend more on sales tax than you do on income tax, and I think it's a very well-made point. And to me, here's what it boils down to, because I'm a skeptic by nature.
Yeah, so am I.
And when I don't understand something on the ballot, I'm probably a no vote. But in this case, I look at it and I see that the more money someone makes, the more they're going to pay in income tax. So we literally are taxing success, effort, hard work, and you have no control over that. Like, the more you work, the more you're going to be taxed. But on the other side, with sales taxes, you can choose how much money you're going to spend. And so you have a great deal more control over it. And people have the ability to rein in spending if they need to. The other thing is, for seniors, I mean, you're going to get taxed as you withdraw. You're going to have an income tax as you withdraw from your 401k. Like, that is a big problem for a lot of seniors when they're on a fixed income and they don't have any control over it, but they do have a control over how much they're spending. So to me, we shouldn't tax effort and success. We should tax spending. It's just kind of a fundamental philosophy. don't reward people for working hard.
They're a business
owner. I mean,
don't
punish people, I'm sorry, right, for working hard.
I have some, you look, I have a couple of, even some clients of mine that are very concerned business owners because they're a little unsure. I think a lot of this really is people are uncertain, and I'm not sure that the legislature did the best job of, you know, maybe putting the cart before the horse or explaining some of this to your point. If people understand it, they would maybe vote on it with a little bit more information, but they're playing into the scare tactics. And then I think what's happening is the unknown is scaring people, certainly some business owners too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And what people should know is that we haven't modernized our tax code in Missouri since the 1930s. So many things have changed. We've gone from, you know, largely a manufacturing and hard goods economy to largely a service economy. And we do need to modernize the tax code to keep up. And again, stop punishing success and hard work. Give people more control over how much they are going to pay in taxes.
Why do you think, I'm very confused about the realtors, because they've put $2 million into this campaign against Amendment 5. The governor in his State of the State address made it very clear that, you know, they would not be affected. I mean, it's just, I bet someone, there was a realtor that went on Facebook and said the price of your home, a $300,000 home, is going to go up $45,000. I said, I will bet you $45,000 that never, ever happens, mainly because it will never, ever happen, right? So, but why do you think the realtors are playing into the scare tactics? I'm confused by that, actually.
I'm very confused by it, too, and I would be on your side of that bet for sure. The governor, Mike Keogh, absolutely has shown tremendous leadership. He said he'd come in and reduce violent crime in the state. He's done that. He wants to modernize the tax code, and he said, very importantly, there's not going to be a tax on the sale of homes, any increased tax on the sale of homes, and there's not going to be any increased tax on healthcare.
Right.
And I am confident that he will keep those promises.
I am too. And I just wish people would take a little time to pay attention to that. Catherine Hanaway, the Attorney General, is here. Let me ask you one question off of Amendment 5. I've talked about this on the air in two different ways. I get these weird, and I think people get these weird text messages from people, and they reach out and they say, hey, and it's really some sort of scam that, you know, I delete right away. But I get a lot of robocalls. And I talked about this at Catherine a couple weeks ago too, because sometimes I'll be in my car, I'll see a number I don't recognize, I'll press hang up. That number calls back like three or four times in a row before it stops calling. So you're trying to do something to crack down on some of these robocalls, because they're getting out of control again, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually joined with 47 other attorneys general, not only to leverage our state laws, but to try and get the FTC federally to crack down on the people who are making these calls, because it is a nationwide problem, and it is so frustrating to people, and the people making the calls are getting more and more sophisticated.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's a local call. It looks like, oh, that may be a number, that might be somebody I know. And it's going to take all of the states and the federal government combating these guys. It's the number one complaint we receive in this office.
It's frustrating, and I believe it. In fact, you actually do. You have a no-call unit, don't you?
We do. And they are a busy unit, because the people who get our cell phone numbers now, between the texts and the calls, it's pretty unbelievable, the volume.
I'm stunned.
Some people must answer, because you just keep getting them, including me.
Oh, I get so many, but yeah, you're right. Some people must answer, because they must figure, even if they can, you know, snag a couple of different people, it's worth their while. All right, Catherine Hanaway, thanks for jumping on with us this afternoon. I appreciate it. I hope all is well, and we'll get closer to this election. We'll see you soon.
Thanks so much, right, Mark, and I can't believe you played 3.5 hours of pickleball the other day.
Three and a half hours. I'm bringing it at Forest Park. Well, we started the show. How much fun was that last night? Jordan Walker taking down Kyle Schwarber at the Home Run Derby in front of his home crowd. Here he is talking about winning it.
I can't even describe how it means to win it. It was a lot of swings, a lot of pressure. But I think I just had fun no matter what. Like, every round I was having a good time, you know. As a kid, I grew up, my favorite thing to do playing baseball is in home runs. So when the competition is, you know, dedicated to doing it, I'm going to have fun doing it. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the pressure, you know, people booing me. One thought was just, like, to stay fluid. Can't swing too hard, I'll miss the ball. And that was it. And KT did an unbelievable job just throwing money BP the whole time. So, your props to him.
Talk about it.
Yeah, this chain right here. Yeah, this is a tough chain. Honestly, it's the Home Run Derby champ chain. I don't know if it's coming off tonight.
Oh, my God. That was so much fun. Ethan's sitting in here in the studio. Our friend Scotty Warman from Cardinals TV. How much fun was that last night, Scott Warman?
You just, if you even get to know Jordan Walker just a little bit, you have to be so elated, Mark. I mean, he's just a good kid. And I think more than anything else to accomplish it, you know, he's getting the boos from the Philadelphia fans, the whole nonsense. But to know what he has done throughout the younger part of his career, I think it's a great story, honestly. And it's a story of sticking to it, honestly. I mean, remember, he started, what was it, a 12-game hit streak to start his career. Then he fell by the wayside. He gets sent down to the minors. People were upset about that. It was up and down. He was down and out last year, sent back down to the minors. Worked hard. I know the story from Derek Gould, among others, in the Post-Dispatch today. And he was frustrated during spring training. And Ollie and the crew just said, hey, let's just take a few days off and recharge the batteries and try to rethink this. And what a season this kid has had. And you root for somebody like that. And I think you and I both know even each other from a personal standpoint. We've been through our trials and tribulations. Oh, yeah. But I hope young people look at what Jordan Walker has been through, and that's life. You don't
it is life
through
yes
this life that's, you know, you're going to go through struggles, and he is a young man that every kid should look up to. Hey, I persevered, and now I've made it. I can't. He's just a wonderful young man.
It's amazing.
I can't be happier for him.
It gave me chills last night. It really didn't. Here he is talking about his turnaround.
Honestly, when I told myself I keep my head up, I mean, just from where I was last year to this year, I mean, life turns around fast, in all honesty. And it was tough. It was tough to keep my head up sometimes, but I kept going. And honestly, I had the best teammates around me, and honestly, I had the best staff around me. Obviously, best family around me as well that kept me going. So that was super important.
Watching his family and listening to his mom and his dad, his sister and his grandma was really, really cool. I love that last night. He just seems like you said, a really, really good kid. And hopefully more people across the country are going to get to know him because of what happened last night.
Absolutely. I think it not only, I think obviously he's risen here in St. Louis. And there were a lot of people that wanted him traded after what was going on last season. But you're exactly right, Mark. Hopefully from a national standpoint, it'll come to him being maybe a star, because I know early in the season he got off to a hot start. And a lot of the guys that I work with who obviously played the game are like, well, you know, this is not going to continue for 162 games. Let's see how he bounces back when he hits that first rut. Well, he's hit a couple of ruts, and guess what?
He's bounced back.
He's turned around and played all-star baseball. I mean, he literally at least has to be in the MVP conversation. Of course, we still have, what, 70-odd games left in the regular season, 60-whatever. But he at least has to be in that conversation for what he's accomplished.
Absolutely.
Scotty, you know what impressed me the most about last night and his performance was that throughout it all, you mentioned, you know, the Philly crowd going crazy. There's cameras right up in his face as he's stepping out of the box to take a breather. And he just looks so cool, calm, and collected, just chomping on the bubble gum with the Ken Griffey Jr. style hat on backwards. I think that that is a testament as to the style of player that he has become and just how professionally he does everything. And you know what? Like, I mean, a couple of times even today, he has been everywhere. He's been on every single show on ESPN. He's on the red carpet for the All-Star game now. And you start to wonder, oh man, you hope that like all of this national attention doesn't change anything that has happened. But when you look at the way in which he has reacted to being in
very
the spotlight,
yeah,
why would you think that it would change? He's so calm and collected.
Right, exactly. And it's just like we talked about earlier, Ethan. I mean, you've been in the clubhouse. You've gotten to hear him and probably meet him a time or two. He's the same way. Yeah, inside he's frustrated, but his experiences fighting through the early stages of his career and not meeting those expectations, I think, has prepared him for this. Now, as you pointed out, it's overwhelming now that he's got all of this media attention, which is great. But I just think because of that experience, Ethan, to be honest with you, I think he's going to be able to handle it. I think it's great for him. I think it's great for the Cardinal organization. And I don't want to overlook one other thing. Well, you know, you win the Home Run Derby and he's doing doing things offensively. This guy legitimately, and Ethan, you know this, he's become a legitimate five-tool player.
Yes, I'm
almost as impressed of what he is doing in the outfield. And one of the things I know a few years ago when Jimmy Evans worked with us on the TV broadcast, I said, Jimmy, you frustrated to see a lot of these outfielders, they can barely get the ball to the pitcher's mound when a guy's rounding home. He goes, it's absolutely frustrating. Walker has the best arm in the outfield. He's old school. Like, and I'm going to mention a name that, Mark, I know you remember. Dave Parker was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
That guy had a rocket of an arm. And we have the same guy in right field in Jordan Walker. He almost pegged a guy, got overturned, and initially was out in the last game before the All-Star break on Sunday against the Braves. He's just as fun to watch in the field as he is at the plate. It really is great. And, again, you get more excited because of just the great young man that he is.
You know, I haven't mentioned this yet, but one of the misses from the broadcast last night, which I think was pretty rough, is they showed Ollie like four times with this big smile on his face, and nobody points out, hey, that's his manager there. And it's funny, I told Becky, you don't get to see managers smile a lot. I think Ollie smiles more than, you know, Tony or Mike Matheny, but, you know, they got to keep that gruff exterior. But he was just having a blast watching his player hit those home runs last night. It was really cool to see the manager having fun too on the field.
Absolutely. I think, you know, Ollie is deserving of getting this opportunity to work with Dave Roberts' crew for this Midsummer Classic here tonight. And again, here's a guy, you talk about persevering. You all know this. Everybody wanted his head last year and even the year before. And now look what he's done with this young team. Better expectations, much better than anybody anticipated. And I don't hear people yelling and screaming and asking for Ollie to get fired anymore.
Not anymore.
I've always said, man, just give the guy an opportunity. Give him a chance. And I think this, and we even talked about this, Al and I did over the weekend, you know, kind of overlooking the first half plus of the season, is what really worked to this team's favor is the fact that you had guys like Ollie, Pop, Stubby Clapp, Pop Warner, the third base coach. These were the guys that really developed the organization in the early 2000s and the 2010s. Well, and rightly so, they eventually made their way up to the big club and became coaches, and Ollie obviously becomes the manager. And so you have this young team, and the impressive part is whether they're running the bases or playing defense, yeah, there's errors made. But for the most part, fundamentally, they're a very sound team. And that goes back to the coaches and the developers that really made this organization so good, especially in the 2000s, the 2010s, because now they're up with the big club. And I think it works great. It's great symmetry with such a young team and the success they've had, which includes, obviously, Jordan Walker. And I have to throw out there John Jay, because I think he's been
a
world of difference.
That is awesome,
Jordan
too.
Walker. In his outfield.
All right, Scotty, we're short on time, but thank you for chiming in. Have fun. Watch the game tonight. We'll see what the second half brings us. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great.
All right, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars,
And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.